Steve Ashburner, senior writer for the NBA.com, and the voice that you just heard joining us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Steve, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Happy holidays to you. I wanted to ask you what the helicopter outside view is of this Bucks team right now. We've got obviously a lot of optimism here, but give me from the outside looking in what you're thinking.
Well, do you want my view from the outside, or do you want what I think the view for a lot of
both.
People on the
outside? Give me both. Give me both, because I'm interested in both.
Well, I'll start with the other one. I'll start with the second, because that's much more superficial and brief. I tend to think that, like a lot of things that go on in the NBA and probably in the major sports leagues with other sports, that some markets get intense and really specific attention, and other markets get sort of the flyover approach. And, you know, okay, yeah, we're going to be interested in this team, in this case, the Bucks, at the moment, and we're going to come to our assessment of them. And, you know, and other times, vast swatches of the season go by, and you know, you don't pay them any mind, you know, or you start to speculate on which of their players you might be able to see move to a team in a market where people intensely cover that team. So, you know, I think that there's a sense right now that the Bucks are, you know, team on the rise. They've got something good going there. You know, the Budenholzer hire was one of the best moves of the offseason, player or coach wise. And that Giannis is going to win an MVP eventually. And I think that probably, you know, largely covers it. You know, you get a little bit closer to the ground and, you know, you see things that are better than that. You see things that are maybe not that good, you know, that in terms of how it meshes with that opinion. The Bucks players are having fun, but I bet they would have more fun if they played a complete game. The last two games, you know, the bad starts, and this is not just specific to those two games, but it's been glaring against the Bulls on Friday and last night against the Nuggets, is got to start better. You enjoy a game more when you can sit on the bench in the fourth quarter and watch, you know, your second and third stringers sort of play out the garbage time. So, you know, that's an issue. But, you know, overall, I mean, I think there is a sense that the Bucks are on the cusp of cracking what people consider to be, and I think, based on where we are in the season, what they expect to be the elite of the East, which is, you know, Boston and Toronto, and then depending now how you feel about Philadelphia, those three teams probably clustered, you know, near the top, and Milwaukee now, and in some order, you know, Indiana after that. You know, that they're the ones that would be pushing from, you know, from behind for that, you know, a top seed.
At what point, if you're sitting here as a Bucks fan today listening to this, do you feel that you have the making for a team that could possibly win the East?
You know, let's get our terms straight, too. I mean, win the East, finishes the top seed or go to the finals?
Go to the finals.
You know, two big differences. You know, I don't think you can really say that about a team like Milwaukee until, you know, they're in the midst of it and going through it. I think that experience in the playoffs is such a big thing. And, you know, I thought they blew an opportunity last year. That was the year they should have advanced. They should have won that first round. You know, I think they had the talent available. I just didn't think they had sort of season to get the traction and get their legs under them and get momentum. I thought that was a squandered opportunity. Had they gotten to the second round, now you say you build on that. So they've got a lot of building to do, and it's hard to go from first round to finals without having advanced at all. So, you know, I'm not going to count them out. Obviously, they've got, you know, tremendous players who are right now, you know, playing a winning style of basketball and meshing very well and getting along and heeding what the coaching staff is putting down. So that's all, you know, that's all good stuff. But when you get to the postseason and you run into one of those teams that I talked about, you know, Boston or Toronto, you know, even Philadelphia, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, things get murkier, and those that have done it, Toronto getting to the conference finals, Boston getting to the conference finals, and, you know, that's an edge for them. So, can we see the Bucks in the finals this spring, this coming spring? You know, sure, why not? But I would not count on that. I would think that this is a year you want to get two rounds in, you know, if things go well, three rounds in, and you have that forward momentum.
They've beaten Toronto. They've beaten Indiana. They've knocked off Philadelphia. I look at Philly and the addition of Jimmy Butler. What does the addition of Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia mean?
Well, I mean, it gives them a tremendous, an all-star caliber player at both ends of the floor. You know, I was very open about my criticism of how Jimmy Butler forced his way out of Minnesota. I think that was despicable, frankly, to do that to a team when you're under contract. Now that that's passed, he's going to be on his best behavior. He's going to be, you know, the best performer he can be. I think he'll be a positive, certainly not a negative, in that team's locker room. You know, does it potentially retard the development of somebody like Ben Simmons? You know, maybe if Simmons is too deferential or feels somehow he's slipped a three in the pecking order there in Philadelphia. It certainly, you know, changes their timeline and expectations for Markelle Fultz, but that might be a good thing, ultimately. I don't know that what they were doing with Fultz in the starting lineup and everything like that is that was good for that team, you know, by and large anyway. So, you know, Butler gives them, you know, some experience and maturity. I don't want to overstate it, though, because you know what? Jimmy Butler's team was up 2-0 on the Boston Celtics a couple years ago. In the playoffs, Rajon Rondo hurt his wrist. He was no longer available. And with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, the Bulls could not win a game against a fledgling Boston team. So Jimmy Butler has a lot to prove himself. He's a, you know, he's a proven commodity in the regular season as a two-way player. And that says a lot in this league where there aren't that many guys that play at the level he does, both defensively and offensively. But in terms of postseason, you know, it's kind of like what I was talking about with the Bucks. There's a lot to prove there, and that is a different time of year, and we've yet to see it, so you can talk about it, but, you know, he and the Sixers have to walk it.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Tell me a little bit about Boston. Boston was going to be the team that was going to be head and shoulders above everybody else. And, yeah, they've been a little bit banged up, but they've also started out rather slow. It's kind of like, is this reminiscent of, say, the Cavs when LeBron was there? They'd start out slow, then all of a sudden they'd piece it all together, and sure enough, by the end of the season, there they are, and they're efforting towards the finals. Is this something as simple as that?
No, I don't think it's like that. I think that was a complacency built on the fact that they knew they would end up going to the finals or believe they would end up going to the finals. That they had LeBron. LeBron always goes to the finals in the Eastern Conference, at least, you know, up until he left this past summer. And I think it was just, you know, how do we stay focused? How do we stay interested in the regular season? I think San Antonio's had to navigate that. Great teams, Golden State even, you know, has had to navigate that, where the first 82, okay, great, fine, you know, we make our name. We tuck some records away maybe if we're really focused. Otherwise, you want to get there healthy and you want to be playing, you know, really well at the very end. And so I think it's a lot to ask. Wait, let me take that back. It's not too much to ask, given what we're paying for as fans. But it's a chore. It is a task. And so with the Cavs, I think it was that. It was just this notion that our real season starts in April. I think with Boston, I feel like it's a nice problem to have, but it's almost a problem of too much talent without any clear pecking order. I think that there are a lot of guys on that team that look, you know, to the right and to the left, and they say, well, I'm as good as that guy. And that's fine, but that guy's doing it too, and there isn't a real sense of who do we go to on any given night, or on most nights, rather, you know, to close games. Who do we count on for this, that, and the other thing? I think that, you know, guys are getting paid there. They're talented players. They almost are too deep for everybody to be happy. I think you do need... You know, you need your alpha dogs, and you need, you know, those who follow. And I think that with Boston, it's unclear. I mean, Gordon Hayward, you know, being moved to the bench, which he started like 330-some consecutive games when he's been healthy. And now he's moving to the bench, and maybe, you know, he's going to be a, a good soldier about it, and maybe he's not, and maybe that means somebody before him was not and struggled in that role. I just think, I mean, they've got a great coach who ought to be able to figure things out. Everybody talks about Brad Stevens as, you know, one of the bright young minds in this league, and there's no reason to doubt that, but this is a particular challenge and maybe different from drawing up great, you know, after timeout plays. This is personnel management. This is psychology, and it's motivation. And I think that Boston is having tasted the success they did when they had much more meager expectations. I think now that they've moved on to a sort of a new level of challenge, and they haven't figured it out yet.
Steve, it's always great to chat with you, my friend. I certainly appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the Fiserv Forum and the Bucks, and we will talk again soon, pal, okay?
Nah, it was great. It was fun. It's a nice building, and it's a really fun team to watch, and it makes it worth the drive.
Absolutely.
Down here in Chicagoland.
Appreciate
Thanks
it, pal. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. That's Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. And thanks, Dan, for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them. 800-44-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.